try to continue speaking to the youth and anyone else, but on the subject of absolute truth. Last Sunday we started out, and I quoted my friend Linda Archer. I'd like to refer to that again. I was talking to her about, you know, she's a teacher and I was a teacher, and teachers do become aware of some of the things young people need to know. Teachers do become aware of things that young people don't know. And young people, I'm not mad at you. I'm not trying to single you out, but, and of course, these truths are really for any of us, to tell you the truth. I mean, they're for any of us, but Linda told me, young people, and of course that means anybody, they need to know there's absolute truth set by God. Absolute truth set by God. And last week I talked about some of that just with reference to science and genetics and creation and so forth. And I'll just pass along. Jody was showing me this week, there's a guy in Holland. He was Dutch. He's 69 years old. And he went to court to try to identify as 20 years younger. He wanted to be 49 instead of 69. Well, I'm thankful. If he'd have done that in America, they'd have tried to grant him that. But I'm thankful that in Holland they said, no, you're 69, buddy. Sorry. You can act 49, you can try to look 49, but you're 69. And I bring that up to say, you know something else that's an absolute truth? Your date of birth. Say amen. Amen. Your date of birth is an absolute truth. I'm sorry, you can't adjust it. Some of us would like to adjust it. Well, I mean, you know, I don't like getting older necessarily. Well, some aspects of it I do. There's absolute truth set by God. Some of it's just related to science and creation and genetics and gender and marriage, all those things. That's last week. But this week I'd like to try to talk to you about the moral code, God's moral code. Will you agree with me that Almighty God absolutely tells us what is right and wrong? And I love to tell you that he decided that long before you and I ever got here. And when I say he decided that may not be the exact, but you know what I mean. God determined what is right and wrong. What a blessing. I was reading a book by G.K. Chesterton this week. It's a biography of Geoffrey Chaucer. I don't recommend it. It's pretty tough sledding. But in that book, he said, morals are eternal things. Morals are eternal things. Ethics and morality are not something that varies from person to person. Are you with me? Isn't that amazing? I submit that there must be an absolute standard of morality. If that is not true, then all of us are left to our own speculations about it, right? And ultimately, we would be left to how we feel, which is what's going on in the world today. How do you feel about it? Well, there are lots of times I don't feel like doing what is right. Can you say amen to that? I would be willing to wager that some of you got up this morning and probably didn't feel like coming to church, but you came because you knew it was right. Right? God has given us an absolute standard of moral measurement. A standard of measurement. Now, and God gave us that standard of measurement for the preservation of our lives. For the preservation of us all as individuals. Did you know God's moral code? If you'll live according to God's moral code, you will be saved and delivered from so many heartaches and problems and even illnesses. Amen? So God gave us this moral code, this standard of moral measurement, to save us from so much heartache and grief and woe and destruction while we live. And that's not only true for individuals. It's also true for families. And it is also true for nations. We would, left to ourselves, and this is terrible to say, we would, left to ourselves, destroy ourselves in pursuit of what we want as carnal beings. In fact, if you'll take a good close look at history, any history of anything, history of America, history of the Baptist churches, the history of the world history, you'll be amazed that we haven't destroyed ourselves as mean as we've been to each other and to ourselves. I submit we have to have a moral standard that is unchanging to preserve us from destruction. Now, here's my question. Where are we going to get? Where do you suppose we could possibly get a moral standard that is absolutely holy? Where would we get that? Where are we going to get a moral standard, a way to behave, an ethical code? Where are we going to get that is absolutely holy and perfect and right every time? Where are we going to get that? Jimmy's holding up his Bible in the back. Amen. I tell you, we're not going to get it from Satan and his angels. By the way, a lot of people live according to his dictates. A lot of God's children get fooled by that. Amen. We're not going to get a holy moral code from him. I tell you what, we're not going to get a holy moral code from individuals. Can you imagine us trying to come together without God's moral code? Can you imagine us trying to come together on what's right and wrong? The billions, the moiling millions of fallen humanity, would we ever get it figured out? Would we ever get it figured out? And I'll also go so far as to say governments do not determine what's right and wrong. Please say amen. The founders of this nation knew better than that. They knew that God determined right and wrong, that God gave you your rights. Your rights are God-given, the right to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. That is God-given, and governments are instituted to preserve those rights. That's a huge thing. Where are we going to get an absolutely perfect ethical code, y'all? One that doesn't change, one that's stable, one that you can always... Where are we going to get that? The only place we can get it is from the God that says in Malachi 3, I meant to quote this at the start and forgot, so I'll quote it now. We get that unchanging, perfectly holy moral code from the God that says in Malachi 3 and 6, I am the Lord, I change not. Now, Jimmy held up his Bible, and he's right, and I'm going to get to that. That's where it's recorded. Now then, so I've thought a lot about this, and I think I want to start today in Genesis again. I want you to turn to Genesis 4, because I think the first example that maybe goes from cover to cover in the Bible is that of murder. Murder. Let me define murder for you. Because you can't believe the people that think if you kill a gorilla if you kill a silverback gorilla, you know, if you kill a silverback gorilla in the hills of the Congo, there are people that will claim you're guilty of murder. What say ye? Is it murder to kill an animal? Now, I'm not for cruelty to animals. I'm against that. I don't like to see animals suffer. In fact, the fact that we don't want to see people suffer is a good thing, but it's also going to be dangerous. Hope the Lord brings that to my mind in a minute. The fact that we don't want to see anybody suffer, our compassion. I don't like to see animals suffer, but it is not murder if you kill a silverback gorilla. Even if it's against the law, you may break the law by doing that, but you have not committed murder, because murder, by definition from Almighty God, is the shedding of innocent human blood. That is what murder is. And incidentally, since I said that, let me go ahead and throw this out here. Okay, I need your prayers really bad, because did you know God is also the one? So God defined murder. God defined it. And by the way, he didn't define it in Exodus chapter 20, which I'm going to get to. That's not when it was defined. The first we hear about it, I think, is right here in Genesis chapter 4. Okay? The shedding of innocent human blood. Now, there's also a distinction made in the Bible. Let me throw this out here. I don't have time to go into this, but there's also a distinction in God's Word. The difference between premeditated murder and involuntary manslaughter is defined in God's holy Word. God's the one that made the difference on that too. Premeditated murder versus involuntary manslaughter. That definition is in God's Word. Does that blow your mind? Did you think that governments just made that up? Even the laws of the United States of America honor that. The difference between premeditated murder and involuntary manslaughter. They're not the same thing. You know who decided that? Almighty God. Now here in Genesis, right shortly after the creation, you know, Adam and Eve, can I run late this morning? Y'all gonna be mad at me if I run late? I hope I don't. Y'all, Adam and Eve, God created Adam and Eve. We went over that last week. Adam and Eve came together as husband and wife. Conception took place. When the conception took place, a new human being was formed. Are you listening? According to the laws of genetics, which were biblical, and man discovered them in the middle of the 19th century. The first one that was born was Cain, if I remember right. And then Abel. Y'all remember those boys? Well, here they are. I don't have any idea how old they were. All I know is that one day they're out in the field, they're apparently grown, and Cain gets mad at his brother, which I don't want to get into all that because I want to hurry along here. You know the story of why they got. And guess what he did? He rose up against Abel and slew him. So Cain gets mad at his brother, and he kills him. Y'all listen. There was no written law anywhere on the planet. Y'all hear me? There was no written law. The Ten Commandments are way out yonder in Exodus chapter 20, which I'm going to get to them here in a minute. We're way before all that. This is just shortly after the creation. And by the way, let me also say, the creation account as it is described in the Bible is absolutely true. Okay? We need to believe it. Young people, you need to believe it. The laws of genetics prove evolution cannot be true. Okay? All right. So, Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. Cain rises up, slays his brother Abel. And so, verse 9. I'm in Genesis 4. Are you with me? And the Lord said unto Cain. Now, he just killed his brother. Where is Abel thy brother? By the way, the Lord didn't ask that because he didn't know. The Lord knew very well. He's trying to get the man to confess. And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he, that is God, said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. You know what that means? You have shed innocent human blood on the ground, and I know it. That's what that means. God knew it. Well, where's it written that he's not supposed to do that? Now, I'm firmly of the opinion that God had communicated that to Adam and Eve, perhaps. I mean, it very well could have been. It's not written anywhere. What I'm telling you is the standard, the moral code, which says you are not allowed to murder people, was already in place way back yonder. The moral code of Almighty God is an absolute. It does not change. Am I saying that there are not gray areas? No, there are gray areas. And some of those are very difficult to figure out. Let's admit it. I already told y'all last week there's a time to lie, I think. There's a time to lie. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth. It's God talking to Cain, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. You have shed your brother's innocent blood, and he did not deserve it. You've murdered. He didn't use the word murder here, but that's what he's talking about. So you're cursed. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. I think that means he's going to be servants to others. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. You're not going to have a home. Wow, boy. How mean is God? How mean that God would pronounce such a harsh judgment on this man who has shed innocent blood. I can just hear people say, well, that's mean. And it gets even better. Y'all with me? Young people, you listening? From Sister Elaine's age on down. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. You should feel sorry for me. You're being too hard on me. Cain is saying to God, you're being too hard on me. Listen, there's no such thing as God being too hard on anybody. Say amen. God always judges exactly right. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me slay me. So it sounds to me like there was some sort of something in place that the person that murdered people himself deserved to be put to death. He's apparently worried about that happening. This is the dawn of creation. Who came up with all this? Now the Lord makes apparently in verse 15, and this is where I'm going to quit here. And the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. I don't understand that. Just sounds to me like the God. So Cain deserved to be slain. Why did Cain deserve to be slain? Because he had shed innocent human blood. He didn't deserve to be slain because he had offered a sacrifice and shed animal blood. Are you with me? When we get to Exodus 20 and it says, thou shalt not kill, it doesn't mean you can't kill a beef. That you can't kill venison. That you can't kill a hog. Or a fly. Or a wasp. I'm glad it doesn't mean I can't kill a wasp. That's not what thou shalt not kill, the sixth commandment, means. It doesn't mean you can't kill a snake. Isn't it the craziest thing? You find a rattlesnake, you're supposed to relocate it. What? I'm going to relocate you a rattlesnake. The Lord said unto him, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. So it sounds to me like there was already something in place that said, if you shed innocent blood, if you are guilty of murder, your life is forfeit. Doesn't that sound right? Becky's allergic to absolute morality too. Isn't that the most amazing thing? Is it not amazing? Okay. I think this is the first biblical example that I want to stress because this goes all the way through the scriptures. Now, turn over in the book of Genesis to chapter 9. And this is when we get to the time of Noah. Several hundred years later. Several hundred years later. Now, you would expect the ethics that please an eternal God to themselves be eternal, right? What pleases God as far as morality is concerned is not going to change because God doesn't change. So what the ethics do not change. The moral code does not change. In other words, if murder was wrong in the Garden of Eden, it is still wrong in 2018. The shedding of innocent human blood. Does that go on in the world anywhere? The shedding of innocent human blood. In America, we seem to take pride in the fact that we shed the most innocent form of human blood. Don't we? That's just as wrong as it can be. You can sugarcoat it any way you want. You can say it's a woman's right. You can say this, you can say that. You can say government shouldn't intervene and all that. I'm telling you, Almighty God says you should not shed innocent blood. I mean, you can mealy mouth it, you can whitewash it, you can say whatever you want. It's shedding innocent blood. All right, now we come to the time of Noah. Noah and them are getting off the boat. It's kind of like saying, you know, society has had a reboot. God's starting over. The humankind got to be so wicked that the Lord destroyed everybody except 8 individuals. And I personally do not believe it's that bad in our world right now. It's bad, and it's getting worse, and I don't like it. But anyway, so they get off the boat, and for the sake of time, I'll just read verse 6. Genesis 9 and 6, here are God's words to Noah when he gets off the boat to start society over again. Verse 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. That's getting off the ark. God says, if anybody sheds man's blood, and by the way, the Bible also makes allowances for war. When you go to war, you're not committing murder. That's biblical as well. You can't believe the people that say, thou shalt not kill, and they think that means you're not even supposed to go to war. Nope. Hang on. So here he says, when you're getting off the boat, if somebody sheds innocent blood, in other words, if you murder somebody, what is God's pronouncement? By man shall his blood be shed. So not only is murder mandated, what is murder mandated here, capital punishment is also mandated in the same breath. Because in the image of God made you man. You know why it's not wrong for you to kill a deer or a beef or a hog? They were not made in the image of God. Are you with me? Now a lot of people don't like this is in the Bible. It's the most amazing thing. They say, well, if a man murders somebody, we'll just let God take care of it. If a man murders somebody, let God deal with it. No, the Bible says man is supposed to deal with it. In other words, this is supposed to be part of the civil code of a civilized nation. Are you with me? And by the way, this is snide, and I don't mean to be ugly, but it breaks my heart that the people who protest that we have the right to murder unborn babies are the very same ones that do not believe we should take the life of a murderer. What? Guess who? You say, well, Brother Gary, I don't want to hear that. I don't like that. I wish you wouldn't talk about this. And I'd rather talk about the atonement. I've told you 1,000 times. But I'm telling you right now, who's decided this matter? Are we left to decide it, or is it not recorded in God's holy word right here? This is civil government, what God expects civil governments to do. Civil governments, according to the Bible, are put into place to curtail the evil activities of people. I can prove it to you from the Old and New Testament. By the way, I'm talking about civil law, not ceremonial law. Governmental law, not ceremonial law, that is the way we worship or the way we get along with each other as a local church. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying, if your brother smites you on the cheek, turn him the other one. Okay? Now, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. So that shows that God's opinion on this matter has not changed from the creation to the time of Noah. Will you all agree with that? Sounds like that's the first. Okay, then you get to Exodus chapter 20. Hundreds of years later, after God has brought into existence, it was Noah, several generations before Abraham came along, several generations after Abraham, before there was a tribe of Israel, a nation of Israel, they went down into Egypt, God brought them out, they grew into millions, God finally brings them out and brings them down to Sinai, and then there gives them the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue in Exodus chapter 20. And Brother Harold taught me years ago, when the Lord gave the Ten Commandments, he was not giving out new information. One of those Ten Commandments, the sixth command, says, thou shalt not kill. That is Exodus 20 and 13. Thou shalt not kill. All right? Now, if you want to know what that means, tell you what, hold your finger there. Turn with me to Matthew 19 and 18. Because we have Jesus Christ's exegesis on what that commandment means. Matthew 19 and 18. He talks about all the commandments here in Matthew chapter 19. And I want to say a little bit about the Ten Commandments, because I'm just going to tell you point blank, the moral code of Almighty God, how He expects us to live and get along, is basically encapsulated in what we call the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. Now, there are other issues that are going on, like, for example, there's other issues going on, as in what I said a moment ago, about the difference between premeditated murder and involuntary manslaughter. That difference is also taught in the Word of God. Here's what Jesus Christ said. The guy comes to him, remember this guy comes to him, verse 16, says, Master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And the Lord says, what are you calling me good? There's only one good, and that's the Father. And he says, if thou will enter into life, in other words, you want to have a great quality of life, keep the commandments. And he says, which? And Jesus says, verse 18, here's Jesus, thou shalt do no murder, very first thing. Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery, steal, bear false witness, honor father and mother. You'll notice the way when Jesus Christ gets ready to quote Moses, commandment number 6. What did Moses say? Thou shalt not kill. When Jesus Christ gets ready to explain what that means, he's telling this guy right here, here's the commandments you need to keep. How does Jesus Christ say that? Thou shalt do no murder. So there's no doubt that when God told Moses, thou shalt not kill, he's not talking about killing beeves or anything else. He's talking about do not shed innocent human blood. Don't murder people. Again, you can't murder a silverback gorilla in the Congo. It may be illegal, and you may not should do it. You can't murder a rhinoceros for his horn. You can't murder an elephant for his tusks. But you can murder an innocent human being. Are you with me? By the way, I'll say to you what I said last week. If I were to stand before a seminar of graduate students over here at Tech and espouse this, I'd be run off the campus, tarred and feathered, because I'm espousing an absolute morality that is unchanging and that man can't make it. The only thing man's got to do with this, man does not determine whether a murder's right or wrong. Man simply determines whether he's going to do what God says or not. Are you with me? Now, so, that's Exodus 20:13, sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Jesus Christ says, thou shalt do no murder. Now back up to Proverbs 28, because Solomon says the self-same thing. And I'm just wanting you to see that this God's opinion on this matter does not change. Proverbs 28, if I can find it. Boy, and I love to read the book of Proverbs. Can I recommend to all of you, get in the habit of reading a chapter in Proverbs every day of the month. There are 31 chapters in Proverbs. There's a chapter for every day of the month. Every day, read that chapter in the book of Proverbs, and the wisdom of Solomon will blow your mind. A proverb a day, I recommend it. It's better than an apple a day. I recommend an apple a day too, but a proverb a day. And then, and by the way, if you forget one, just go on. If you miss one day, just read the proverb for the day. Anyway, here we are, chapter 27. I don't mean that. Chapter 28, I want verse, 17. Proverbs 28 and 17. All I'm talking to you about right here, right now, is the eternality of God's restriction upon murder. God's opinion hadn't changed. Would you all agree with that? What does Solomon say about it? A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. And then what's the next five words? Let no man stay him. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person, that means murder, shall flee to the pit. We understand what that means, don't we? And then that last statement, let no man stay him, means there should not be any one person who stops it. Boy, your amens are rare this morning. I know. I know this is so unpopular. Should the governor have the right? Should the governor of a state have the right to stop this just because he's leaving office? How many times have you seen that happen? Should a whining mama? I don't say that with disrespect to the mama. Should Gary Harvey? Are you with me? Let no man stay him. Okay. Now, and then I've already read to you in the New Testament where Jesus Christ agrees with every bit of this, right? He agrees with every bit. We're talking about civil law here, not ceremonial. Civil law. Is it apparent that God's opinion, his injunction against the shedding of innocent blood, is still intact in 2018, just like it has been since the Garden of Eden? Can you say amen to that? Now, let's go back to the Ten Commandments. And I want to go through a little bit of those. And the reason that's in there about let no man stay him is because of our human sympathy. Our human sympathy and compassion will get in our way. Let me give you something even less. In other words, I used to have students ask me, Mr. Harvey, could you throw the switch? And I said, if I knew the individual was guilty of murder, yes. Would I want to do that? No. Does it matter whether I want to do it? No. Are you with me? This is an absolute standard of morality that God has established in his word. Would we? Okay, enough of that. And I've heard I'll go ahead and say this. I've heard all the stuff about, capital punishment is not a deterrent to crime. What? Okay. I don't know how to say this other than say it. If Gary Harvey commits murder, and they do with me as the Bible says, one thing for sure, Gary Harvey isn't going to commit that crime again. I'm not angry. I'm not angry. I listened to one of my sermons the other day. I was at home and I listened to one of my sermons. It's tough. And I was at home and Becky said, "Don't you hear how angry you sound?" And I said, "No, honey, I'm not angry. But you sound angry." I said, "Well, yeah." I'm not angry. Now let's think though. See, our feelings will get in the way. Our feelings can be our worst enemy when it comes to doing right and wrong. In fact, if you'll think about it, you're a dichotomous person. I mean by that, you've got two sets of feelings in you. Inside you, there are some feelings that are in harmony with Almighty God, and your flesh has feelings that are contrary to that, and here you are. What a predicament you're in. Amen? Isn't it great that God has established a moral standard that's absolute and is not changing? We need it, whether we know we need it or not. And we can depend on our feelings. I said that about throwing the switch. There are a lot of parents that won't even chastise their children because of their human compassion. They think it's cruelty to chastise their children a little bit. Even if you just take a wooden spoon, just that. That's okay. Take a wooden spoon. It's got a smart enough it gets their attention. That's not cruelty. You know what that is? Training. That's what that is. And as I've told you, God already built a nice little place to put that. That's not cruelty. But there are people who will not do that because of their human compassion. Their human compassion, their human sympathy gets in the way and they will not do that. Well, this other thing, obviously, what I'm talking about, obviously, if we just go by what we feel, we won't want our human sympathy. We'll think, wait a minute, we can't do that. We can't do that because of human sympathy, right? Well, what's God's word say? Now, I want to get back to some other absolutes that you're supposed to live by. These are encapsulated in the Ten Commandments. Number one, worship God only. You are only supposed to worship God. and that is the God of the Bible, the Creator God, Jehovah God, Emmanuel, God with us. That's the God you're supposed to worship. You're not supposed to worship any other God. You're not supposed to worship Allah. Say amen. You're not supposed to worship Buddha. Say amen. You're not supposed to worship Beyonce. Say amen. I know, this does not make you popular. Okay, does God ever allow us to worship something besides God? Are we ever allowed to do that? No. He never has allowed that. We're not ever supposed to do that. Now, we have the tendency to do it. We have the tendency to let things come between us and our devotion to God, don't we? This is why God tells us don't do it. Are you listening? This is an eternal thing. It is not changed. Chesterton's right. Morals are eternal things. There are absolute truths, including ethics. Another one. Honor your parents. Young people, are you listening? Honor your parents. That means be respectful toward them. I can't stand it that we've dispensed with sir and ma'am. There are public school teachers that want their children to call them by their first name. Never did I allow that. Let me tell you why I didn't allow it. Not because I was better than my students, and I told them I wasn't better than them. I just told them I happened to be in a position of authority. And if I, from a position, are you listening? If I, from a position of authority, reach down, in a manner of speaking, to be nice to a student, would it not mean more to them than if I were their equal? Are you listening? You want to know one reason why we're so mind blown by the fact that God sent His only begotten Son? Because we were so far beneath God that He would condescend so much to us that He would send His only begotten Son to us to save us. We're so blown away by that because we're so far beneath God. In no way are we His equal. Honor your parents. Respect your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It also means take care of your parents in their old age. I'm dead serious. Okay. Well, what if I don't want to? I don't want to do that. And by the way, that was going on in the days of Christ. There were people that could get around that. They got around it by, you know, well, they just got around it. People still try to get around it. Another unchanging ethical standard. Stay sexually pure prior to marriage. Is there forgiveness available? Of course, there's in any of these areas, there's forgiveness available. I'm talking about the optimum. Stay sexually pure prior to marriage. And then stay sexually pure after marriage. I've told you all about the sign I had on my door for years and years. Back when safe sex was such a big thing, you know. What do we do about having safe sex? Remember all that? Oh, yay. And all the craziness that was purported. And I just put a sign on my door at school and it said, the prescriptive formula for safe sex. Abstinence before marriage, monogamy thereafter. That was on my door for years until somebody from the Department of Education came to the school and said, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen. You've got to take that down. Was it wrong? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Are you with me? Can you see this is an eternal, unchanging ethical code that we're to live by? And by the way, I also want to throw something else out here. This old adage that governments are not supposed to, legislate morality. is bunk. Absolute bunk. Governments, according to Almighty God, one of the purposes of civil governments is to put ethical codes into place that will keep people from doing these things if they are not willing to do it in and of themselves. Why do we have laws in America against murder? You got laws in America against murder. We've got laws in America against thievery, which I'm going to get to, against stealing. What? Of course we're supposed to have legislative morality. Of course we are. That's one of the craziest things I've ever heard. But I heard that through the lips of an English professor. Well, governments are not supposed to legislate morality. You can't legislate morality. Now, if that professor meant by that, governments don't decide morality, I say amen. But the morality is in place, and governments are supposed to go by it, just like everybody else. Can you say amen to that? By the way, you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about as close to, if we will live by these things, I'm talking about as close to a utopia as human society can ever get if we live by these things. Just think the difference in our culture if nobody worshiped anybody but God. Just think the difference in our culture if children honored their parents in Walmart. Say amen. By the way, parents can make their children honor them to some degree. I'm telling you, you can require that. Can you imagine how different the world would be if people just didn't commit adultery? How different would our culture be if we would abide by the commandment that says, thou shalt not steal? In other words, earn what you get. Earn it. Work for it. And how strict is that according to the Bible? Did you know that throughout the Bible? Thou shalt not steal. Don't steal something that doesn't belong to you. Don't take it. By the way, you can't give away what don't belong to you either. You can't give somebody something that does not belong to you. Say amen. That's thievery too. Don't steal. Thou shalt not steal. So, earn it. Go get a job. Right? All right, what if I'm hungry? Go get a job. Did you ever steal anything and your mom and dad take you back and make you turn it in? That ever happened to any of you? I think Shauna was telling me about that. Shauna stole something one time. What'd you steal, Shauna? I can't remember.
Bubblegum.
She stole a piece of bubblegum.
In Kroger.
Kroger stole a piece of bubblegum. Thank you, Shauna. I don't mean to embarrass Shauna. Just happened to remember this. Stole a piece of bubblegum in Kroger. So she's chewing her bubblegum, smacking away. And her mom says, where'd you get that bubblegum? I didn't. Well, Mama stole it. I got it at Kroger. And so Shauna's mama went back to Kroger. Made Shauna fess up. They paid for the bubblegum. You know what? Shauna, how old were you, Shauna? I know I'm not trying to embarrass you.
Oh, gosh, that's probably seven.
Seven? She's older than that now. I'm not going to say how much older. But she's older than that now. She still remembers. That's a powerful memory from her youth. That's far better than saying, okay, well, honey, that's okay. Don't you do that next time. Are you with me? Thou shalt not steal. How powerful is that? In the New Testament says, he that will not work, neither shall he eat. That's what it says in the New Testament. Now, y'all, I know what you're thinking. Well, what about people that can't? I know we got disability. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, by the way, we got a lot of able-bodied people that are on disability, too. Anyway, I'm just getting in trouble. But I'm telling you, this is the way it is. The Bible says, if a man won't work, neither should he eat. Thou shalt not steal. Okay. Oh. Another thing you're not supposed to do is bear false witness. In the context of what I'm telling you, you want to know one reason why? Bearing false witness could get, if you bear false witness against somebody for committing murder, you can get them put to death. Are you listening? Don't be bearing false witness. I think what that really means is something more than just telling a little lie. When your wife says, honey, does this skirt make me look fat? And you tell a little lie. You know, or whatever. I think this is talking about you know, in a form of, don't you be bearing false witness against your neighbor in a weighty matter. Don't you be doing that. Don't perjure yourself. You understand? Don't commit perjury. Don't do that. Well, what if somebody slips a little check to me, you know, behind the scenes, you know, and I can make a little. And the Bible talks against bribery, too. That's bribery. Okay. And lastly, what's another thing? My time is already up. What's another one of those Ten Commandments? The last one is, thou shalt not covet. You know what that means? Be content. Be content. Young people, are you listening? Be content. Start now being content. Okay, girls, you don't need 50 pairs of shoes. You want to know my weakness is? The young people are mad at me for that, saying they don't need 50 pairs of shoes. I'm just using that as an example. I tell you, you know what I don't need? I don't need every Carhartt piece of clothing jacket that's out there. I've got Carhartt this and I, you know, I've got, I, in fact, I got a Carhartt vest that I hinted, took me years and years and years to hint around enough till I got one. Kept going on about this Carhartt vest, and as soon as I got that one, I wanted another one. What is up with that? And I want a Carhartt zip-up denim jacket, and then what? You know what I need to do? Be content. I'm going to tell you right now, every one of us in this room needs to start right now trying to learn to be content more. Can you say amen to that? All right, would you be better off? Would you be happier if you were content? Y'all, you don't have to have a Maserati. You don't have to have some, you know, vehicle that's a status symbol. Are you with me? Okay, and y'all are putting up your Bibles and zipping up your purses. So I guess that means I need to quit. That is so rude. That is just rude. Let me quote you two verses in closing, can I? It's just now 10 till 12. Let me quote you two verses. Young people, listen. All of you, listen. Exodus 23 and 2, if you want to write this down, it says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. In other words, if you got a whole multitude of people and they're going to perform evil, don't go with them. Don't you follow a multitude to do evil. You know what that means? You've got to be man or woman enough to say, I'm not doing that. You've got to adhere to the moral code of Almighty God enough to say, I'm not doing that. It's wrong. And I'm going to talk about offense maybe next week, because I know, well, how do I live like this without offending people? Well, you're not going to be able to all the time. Maybe that's next week's subject. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. And finally, Proverbs 24 and 21. You can write this down, read it later. Proverbs 24 and 21 says, my son, fear thou the Lord and the King. And by the way, in that order, fear thou the Lord and the King. And meddle not with them that are given to change. Meddle not with them that are given to change. In other words, people that their ethic changes with every wind, every politically correct wind. Don't be meddling with them. People that are given to change. The ethical code of Almighty God is eternal, unchanging. It is revealed in God's Word, and don't be meddling with people that want to contradict that. Do not meddle with them that are given to change. You know, one of the hardest things sometimes to do is just admit that this doesn't change. You know, this is just the way it's always been. People don't like that. People will tell you, well, it's the year 2018. Well, it's the 21st century. You can't really expect us to go by what was right in the 1500s, it's the 21st century. Of course we're supposed to go by what was right then. If it was right then, it's right now. Because this thing was set by Almighty God. And I thank you for your great attention. And this was too long, and I appreciate you being patient. But I did hear you zipping up your Bibles. I did hear you. Preachers can take hints.